वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो
श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 17 टेक्स्ट नंबर 10
इति आतति यतद्वीर्य विदुषी ब्रुवाने भवो शमनु ब्रुवाने बहु अशोभनम् रुषाः देवि दृष्टाय निर्जित आत्माभिमानिने। इति ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन नॉट नोइंग द प्रोफेस ऑफ लॉर्ड शिवा एंड पार्वती Chitraketu strongly criticized them. His statements were not at all pleasing, and therefore the goddess Parvati, being very angry, spoke as follows to Chitraketu, who thought himself better than Lord Shiva in controlling the senses. Purport. Although Chitraketu never meant to insult Lord Shiva, he should not have criticized the Lord. Even though the Lord was transgressing social customs, it is said, Teji Asam Nadoshaya, one who is very powerful should be understood to be faultless. For example, one should not find faults with the sun, although it evaporates urine from the street. The most powerful cannot be criticized by an ordinary man or even by a great personality. Chitraketu should have known that Lord Shiva, although sitting in that way, was not to be criticized. The difficulty was that Chitraketu, having become a great devotee of Lord Vishnu Shankarshan, was somewhat proud at having achieved Lord Shankarshan's favor, and therefore thought that he could now criticize anyone, even Lord Shiva. This kind of pride in a devotee is never tolerated. A Vaishnava should always remain very humble and meek and offer respect to others. Tinadapi sunichena taro rivasahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. A Vaishnava should not try to minimize anyone else's position. It is better to remain humble and meek and chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The word Nirjita Atma Abhimanine indicates that Chitraketu thought himself a better controller of senses than Lord Shiva, although actually he was not. Because of all these considerations, Mother Parvati was somewhat angry at Chitraketu. Translation. Not knowing the prowess of Lord Shiva and Parvati, Chitraketu strongly criticized them. His statements were not at all pleasing, and therefore the goddess Parvati, being very angry, spoke as follows to Chitraketu, who thought himself better than Lord Shiva in controlling the senses. So we are on this very wonderful chapter, which is explaining the history behind Vritrasura's glorious birth, glorious departure. And here we find a situation where Chitraketu Maharaj has gone through so many ups and downs in his life, not having a son, after so many prayers and after begging the great saints, Angira Muni, for a son. Finally he got a son. And then that son is poisoned in an intrigued way poisoned by the queens, by his wives, by his co-wives, and finds that one fine day, his son has died. And again he's merged into an ocean of lamentation, just like someone having received a great treasure and the very next moment being stolen away. So here we find that as Chittaketu Maharaj was later on favored by Lord Shankarshan himself, and when he became a very great devotee of the Lord, he was bestowed with all the opulences of the Vidyadharas, and he would be able to fly in airplanes with heavenly damsels and without being affected by tinge of any material affection. Such was the exalted state of Chitraketu Maharaj. As once he was traveling by the airways, he found that Lord Shiva was speaking to a group of renunciates and sages, and Parvati, Goddess Parvati, who was her wife, was sitting in her lap, on his lap. And this was the first instance when Lord Shiva, Chitraketu Maharaj, saw Lord Shiva in such a posture. And this kind of astonishment was his first reaction to this situation. The first was kind of wonder that how could such a great exalted personality transgress social customs. Generally, we don't find that, you know, if all of us would be sitting here for some of the class and you find a speaker and then his wife coming and, you know, sitting on the lap, everyone would think, what's wrong with this person, right? And then there will be a lot of astonishment, a lot of questions happening around. Jai Radha Madhava would be singing and people would be asking questions, and, you know, what's happening, who is this personality, why is this person doing like this? This was the state of Chitraketu Maharaj. It was a normal reaction, right? It was not an abnormal reaction, but what later on transpired in his consciousness was abnormal. And therefore Prabhupada says that a moment is not of a particular dealing with particular externals, it is to deal with one's consciousness. Therefore Prabhupada named this society as International Society for Krishna Consciousness. How one can, in spite of all the trials and tribulations of this world, can always remember Krishna in the society of devotees. So the reaction was absolutely normal. The first reaction was that of wonder, surprise and bewilderment. The second phase, which led to the interpretation in his mind, was that Lord Shiva is claimed to be one of the greatest renunciates. He doesn't even have a home. And he is practically does not care about his dress. He is performing great austerities in the Kailash mountains where he has his abode. And he is practically bereft of all opulences. So what is Lord Shiva? How is that Lord Shiva has become so attached to his wife? Has he become so attached to his wife that he dare transgress the social customs? And then when he had fixed this kind of interpretation that this was the only way I could pursue Lord Shiva in this situation, he fixed that this was because Lord Shiva had fallen prey to attachment. And then this was his attitude that, you know, it's a casual attitude. Oh, Lord Shiva is not what everyone says. Is not what everyone thinks. I now know who is Lord Shiva. I have seen. Right? And all the sages also, they seem to be less intelligent to accept this social transgression. And in this way, because he had made up, though he was very good in terms of dealing with Lord Shiva, he really respected him as a great personality, but momentarily he lost track of his consciousness. He became judgmental because of his pride. Due to his controlling of senses, very nicely as he was moving with heavenly damsels. It became very obvious to him, just see, I have so many heavenly damsels around me, but I am not affected. I do not forget Krishna. And then here is Lord Shiva. How can he do like this? And then he decided upon himself to be an authority to comment upon the behavior of Lord Shiva, where it was not warranted. He was just an observer, right? It was not in his, it was not that he was made the judge, to judge this particular assembly. And here we find typically this example that similarly we are all conditioned souls in this prison house of this mental existence. And we find that there are so many prisoners who are around us, right? A prisoner in one cell is seeing the prisoner in another cell, and he is commenting on his conduct and behavior. Does his comment or conduct, or this comment on his conduct or behavior, in any way guarantee his release from the prison house? The prison house, the jail keeper is not going to see how well you are observant of the other prisoner's conduct. The jail keeper is only concerned how you are improving in your conduct and behavior. Similarly, we as sadhakas, as practicing devotees, where we have not a position, where we are not called in for a service, there should not be any need to comment on some other devotees. Especially, the tendency is to talk about a third person, right? Oh, this devotee is like this and so. And then other devotee gets inspired. Yes, I also saw something like that. And I also feel something. I was trying to find out, you know, who is the person who has understood this person really. I have now found you. So let us discuss about him. And that's how it slowly becomes judgmental criticism and becomes a severe offense. Similarly, a little inattentiveness in one's behavior could lead to such a great disastrous tragedy. The kind of fall down or apparent fall down of Chitraketu Maharaj was very, very extreme. From a very pure devotee into a very nice body, very nice situation, very nice position, status, he completely changed his body into a very, very monstrous demon, Vritrasura. However, Krishna is the protector of his devotee's consciousness. That's why even though he did not preserve the body and the opulence of Chitraketu Maharaj, he preserved the consciousness of Chitraketu Maharaj intact in the body of Vritrasura. So, we find here that Parikshit Maharaj is asking that how is this Vritrasura, who was supposed to be such a great demon, is speaking philosophy on the battlefield to Indra. And such a glorious debt of Vritrasura, after hearing about this, can you explain more about this person? And Shukdev Goswami Maharaj is explaining at detail and at length about the entire passing away of Vritrasura and with his reference to his previous life as Chitraketu Maharaj. And you find that a similar semblance to Parikshit Maharaj's own life. He also went to the forest hunting once, and then he was thirsty, and then he saw that this sage was in meditation, Samik Rishi, and he wanted some water, requested some water. He did his best to be polite and gentle, but when the Samik Rishi was absorbed in meditation, could not respond to the king's request, by the superior arrangement and the plan of the Lord, Parikshit Maharaj transgressed the etiquette and he simply wrapped up a dead serpent on the sage's neck. The sage's son, Sringi, thus cursed Parikshit Maharaj for a little offense. And we find lot of similarity between Chitraketu Maharaj and Parikshit Maharaj. Similarly, Chitraketu Maharaj also made a very little offense, but he was punished in im supposed to be like, you know, improportionate magnitude, right? Non-proportionate magnitude. And we might consider, you know, why Why do extreme bad things happen to good people? It's not just a bad thing happening. It was a real bad thing. Cursed to become a demon. And then Parikshit Maharaj also is cursed to die in 7 days. So Parikshit Maharaj is very closely, he is trying to literally be on track on Chitraketu Maharaj's consciousness. Because his situation is a similar situation to us, to him. And so Parikshit Maharaj is feeling inspiring, is feeling inspired and encouragement by Shukdev Goswami. And this is a kind of reciprocation that goes on between the Lord and his devotees. In kind of difficulties, in times of happiness, the Lord is only trying to encourage his devotee to go home back to Godhead. And there should not be any doubt or there should not be any hesitation in the mind of a devotee that whatever is happening in my life is not anyway been observed or being supervised by Krishna. And therefore, when a devotee puts himself under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, it is guaranteed that the spiritual master will fashion his spiritual life is to a guaranteed destination to go back to Godhead. But in course of reaching that destination, there will be very bewildering reversals. There will be very, very difficult to bear situations. And so, it will be only so wonderful to take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is filled with such pastimes and which give us hope. So we find that Chitraketu Maharaj here has commented and he is offended. From the point of view of the sadhaka, we should know clearly that a sadhaka has to be very careful in not committing any offenses. In fact, what happens in Krishna consciousness, we have heard that even if a person is coming from a low caste, shudra, unqualified background, right, he is elevated simply by the power of the holy name. That does not mean that we have become elevated to feel that others are unqualified who are not taking to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And therefore this pride can come that we are better than those other qualified brahmanas who as Prabhupada would say to his disciples that, you know, tell that devotee in that Radharaman Pujari that he will have to take birth in the family of Americans, in the country of United States of America, and then he'll have to take this Krishna consciousness movement and then become fortunate. Hearing all such statements, we feel that we are qualified and we have a right to judge others, even though they might not be in Krishna consciousness or they might be outright karmis. Like in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, Suniti Devi was seeing Dhruva Maharaj and he was a young child, he was harmless, innocent. And he would not be in a time to retaliate. He was not such a grown up man to revolt, to rebel. So she just neglected, she just chastised, she just sarcastically insulted a young kid, Dhruva Maharaj. What to speak of a grown up adult? And Dhruva Maharaj was not a devotee at that time. He was not anyway interested in Krishna consciousness. But when Dhruva Maharaj took up this insult seriously and took the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master like Narad Muni, and having succeeded in his endeavor to become Krishna conscious, now that Dhruva Maharaj was a devotee, it was no longer that Suruchi, this stepmother, had committed offense against a Dhruv, who was a Karmi. This was now Dhruv Prabhu or Bhakta Dhruv, right? So the result of that insult was like, you know, what do you call it, in or adjusted again or was upgraded. That now that same personality is devotee. And Suruchi got the result of offending Dhruva as a devotee. So Prabhupada said, therefore, a devotee does not offend anyone. And he offers respect to not just devotees, but to everyone, seeing the Paramatma in everyone's heart. And therefore, Srila Haridas Thakur is an example of the great transcendentalist. Even though he was given the position of Namacharya, still he did not feel himself qualified. Rather, he felt himself the most low-born. And therefore, even he begged mercy from the Lord for these executioners. So we find that Prabhupada is often telling the devotees, the nectar of instruction says that one must not see the devotees from the external point of view. But Prabhupada says, one must therefore avoid observing a pure devotee externally, but should try to see the internal features and understand how he is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. This way one will be very, very much safe from committing any offenses. So we find that here, this mentality of pride which led Chittakitu Maharaj in such a deep trouble. This pride can be caused due to various factors. Primarily due to opulences, scholarship, beauty, high birth, aristocracy, better skills, more strict than anyone, more stricter. And we might feel anything that we find, or anything we find ourselves, that we have a little thing which is gifted by Krishna. Maybe I can speak very nicely. Maybe I can convince people very nicely. Maybe I just make very good relationship with devotees. Maybe I just make very good PR with people. Therefore, I am better in this field than someone else or than others. I am very expert in managing. And we might feel that this is my monopoly. No one can beat me in this field. And this can go on and on. We might in that way be trapped to acquire all of these opulences and external designations than to cultivate the real heart of a humble devotee. And therefore this is a trap, because therefore opulences are being described by Kunti Devi as great disqualifications. Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shirbir Edamana Madha Puman Naiva Arti Abhidhatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. So one of them is opulence. The other thing is the attitude. Even though you might be having, you will be possessing some of these attributes, that does not mean that you deny Krishna. Please make me bereft of all opulences. Right? I don't want all of these things. I just want to be a humble, meek devotee. Right? And sometimes that could be a trap, that to be a humble devotee and you might project yourself as being bereft of all opulences, and that way you might become proud. So that is not a solution. The solution is to have the right attitude. And that attitude is that of being humble and meek and being respectful to others. And the final thing is that you may have the opulence, and then you may have the right attitude, and then you may receive the mercy of the Lord. And when you receive the mercy of the Lord, you become very happy. You become very excited. And in that excitement, you might feel, I got the mercy. I am the chosen one. I am the empowered one. And you might feel pride in being empowered, pride in receiving the mercy of the Lord, pride in being favored by the spiritual master. And in this way, one may lose all the initiatives that we had gathered previously. Just because of a little thing, that I have now become advanced in Krishna consciousness, therefore, now I feel myself definitely better than others. Earlier I used to feel in illusion that I was better than others. Now that I have so much of favor from the Lord, this justifies that I am advanced. And therefore, this is the last trap of Maya. And Prabhupada says also, there is one of the, in Narad Bhakti Sutra, Satsuru Maharaj writes in that book, that Maya is so subtle that even if one is able to avoid hearing about sex, money and atis, and even if one joins the society of devotees, one may still become a victim of pride and hypocrisy. So we might take some steps. In fact, we'll find this attitude of being very proud of acquired skills or acquired opulences is very nice pastime in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, wherein Vallabha Bhatt comes to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And he is meeting all of devotees and is glorifying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's saying that anyone who receives your audience is very fortunate because you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead yourself. And he glorifies the Lord as being possessed of so much ecstatic love for Krishna. And unless one is empowered by Krishna, one cannot have such an ecstatic love. So Vallabha Bhatt approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the attitude of being respected for his scholarship. He had hidden agendas, he had hidden motives. And then we find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recognized the first stage of pride. And he reciprocated Vallabha Bhatt and said, he is very indirectly trying to groom Vallabha Bhatt in the right devotional mood. And he says, my dear Vallabha Bhatt, you are a very learned scholar. Kindly listen to me. I am simply a sannyasi of the Mayavadi school. Therefore, I have no chance of knowing what Krishna Bhakti is. And then he glorifies that my mind has become purified because I have associated with Advaita Acharya. And he is unparalleled in understanding all revealed scriptures, and therefore he is called Advaita Acharya. Lord Nityananda is the Avadhut. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And he is always intoxicated with madness of ecstatic love. It is because of his causeless mercy that I have received ecstatic love for Krishna. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is perfectly knows all the six philosophical systems, and therefore he is the spiritual master of the entire world. The best of devotees, only by his mercy I have understood devotion service to Krishna is the essence of all mystic yoga. By Ramananda Rai, who is the ultimate knower of all transcendental mellows, I have understood that the goal of life is Krishna, and that spontaneous love of Krishna is the highest perfection. And then he goes on to glorify all the devotees, and he says that it is impossible to describe the influence and knowledge of Ramananda Rai. And because of his mercy, I could understand the unalloyed love of Vrindavan. And he goes on, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifies all the devotees and says, I am because of all these devotees. And Vallabha Bhatt realizes himself that he is not just dealing with one personality or one competitor. He is dealing with so many devotees who are more qualified. He feels himself very insignificant. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indicated to him that this, if you want to learn about devotional service, you must learn from all of these devotees. Thus, Vallabha Bhatt invites Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house. And then when he goes to invite, to receive him for prasadam, he invites all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who have come there to meet Lord Chaitanya. Ramananda Rai, Advaita Acharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And he distributes prasadam, profuse Jagannath prasadam to all of them. And then Vallabha Bhatt is then witnesses the Jagannath Rath Yatra festival, and after the festival he comes to the lotus feet of the Lord to visit Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have written some commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Would your Lordship kindly hear it? He wanted to exhibit his scholarship, the prowess of scholarship. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, understanding the pride of Vallabha Bhatt, I do not understand the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Indeed, I am not a suitable person to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. I simply sit and try to hear and chant the holy name of the Lord, although I cannot complete my prescribed rounds. Vallabha Bhatt is forceful. He wants the Lord to hear because he wants to show that he is such a qualified person. And he says, okay, no problem. You're not interested in Srimad Bhagavatam. You're interested in chant Hare Krishna. Okay, I will try to explain deeper meanings of the holy name. This you will be interested in. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I do not accept many different meanings for the holy name of Krishna. I just know that Lord Krishna is Shyam Sundar and Yashodananda. That's all I know. I am happy with what I have. And this way Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu frustrates Vallabha Bhatt's attempt to display his prowess, his pride. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that because of his pride, whatever he had done, all of that things were useless. Thus, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's behavior towards Vallabha Bhatt made him completely morose. And his faith and devotion to the Lord changed because the Lord reciprocated him in such a way. Because the Lord neglected him, And thus, Lord actually neglects the devotees who have pride in their heart. This should be an indication enough that we have some undesirables within our heart. But still, Vallabh Bhatt was insistent. He wanted to show himself as being superior. So, being frustrated, he went to Gadadhar Pandit, because he knew that Gadadhar Pandit was a very mild devotee. And if he goes and just pushes himself, just forces Gadadhar Pandit to listen, he will agree. So he said, please hear my explanation of the meaning of Lord Krishna's name. That way all the mud of shame that has come upon me will be washed off. Gadadhar Pandit was such a gentle-hearted soul. He did not want to disappoint Vallabh, but at the same time he did not want to hear these tainted philosophical explanations of Vallabh Bhatt. And thus he began to pray to Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mind, that please understand my mind. I do not want to hear, but I am simply forced because of the circumstances. And I hope the Lord will understand that. And then every day Vallabh Bhatt will go to the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and engage in unnecessary arguments with Advaita Acharya. So then finally, Vallabh Bhatt, he was telling to Advaita Acharya that every living entity is female and Krishna is the husband of the Jiva. He is the Pati. So how can the Jiva call the name of the Lord? Because the wife never calls the name of the husband. So why are you chanting the name of Krishna directly? This is not the right way. And Advaita Acharya says that I am not qualified to answer this question. Please refer to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's comment. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear Vallabh Bhatt, you do not know religious principles. Actually, the first duty of a chaste woman is to simply carry out the order of the husband. And this is the order of Krishna, is to chant his name incessantly. Thus, therefore, one who is chaste and adherent to the husband Krishna must chant the Lord's name. And in this way, one follows the order and thus he is chaste. And thus, Vallabh Bhatt next day again came and he said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to show something radical, something revolutionary. I have some revolutionary piece of evidence. I have a revolutionary piece of revelation. That is that I have written a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam and I have refuted the compilations and the commentary of Sridhar Swami, thinking that he must have done a great feat by defeating a previous Acharya. But this only exhibited his great ignorance and arrogance in continuing to exhibit his pride. And he said that whatever Sridhar Swami explains is not according to the Shastra. And thus Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he replied in gravity. He said, one who does not accept the Swami, that means he was referring to Sridhar Swami, and then he was also connoting the Swami to be the husband, because he was saying the Jiva is the wife, Prakriti, and the Lord is the husband. He said, one who does not accept the Swami as an authority, I consider him to be a prostitute. And thus, he very heavily rebuked Vallabh Bhatt. In this way, by various hints and refutations, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu slashed the pride of Vallabh Bhatt. And we find that Vallabh Bhatt realized that his pride had been finally slashed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, he realized that it is better to simply remain a humble servant of the devotees and then receive the favor of the Lord. Contrary to this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very merciful to Kalidas, the uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami, who was very faithful Vaishnava, and he had complete faith in these three things: Bhakta Pada Dhuli, Bhakta Pada Jal, and Bhakta Bhukta Vashesh. He had faith in these three things: the water which has washed the lotus feet of the devotees, the dust which has the dust of the feet of the devotees, and the remnants left by the devotees. So this devotee Kalidas was so enthusiastic, so eager and so faithful that he would not be discriminating in whose remnants to take. He would take the remnants of all Vaishnavas, whether they may be neophyte or they may be born of Brahmana families. Thus, he was very famous in Kalidas had tasted the remnants of all devotees in Bengal. Why? Because he was very expert in doing that. He had a very particular skill which he employed in the service of the Lord. He was very expert in hiding and then taking all of these things secretly. So once he came to Jadu Thakur, who was born of a low-born Shudra family, a low caste. And he went to Jadu Thakur and said that, I am so happy to see you. And he went and discussing and offered obeisances to him and said that, my life has become successful just upon having your darshan. And he said that, here I have brought some gift for you. This was his trick. He would give some gift of some prasadam items and then he would make sure that when they would have eaten these remnants, if they would give them without any reservation, he would take it directly. But then if he not do that, if their devotees would feel a little hesitant and feel embarrassed, then he would hide in the bushes, wait for them to finish the prasadam and then take away the banana leaf where the remnants would be there and lick those banana leaves, the remnants. That was his ecstasy. And this way, Kalidas gave very wonderful mangoes to Jadu Thakur. Jadu Thakur very graciously accepted and he said, I am not able to serve you properly. If you want, I can arrange food for you because I am a low-born Shudra. I can arrange for you to have prasadam at a Brahmana's house. Jadu Thakur refused and said, I am happy and he just left from that scene. And then he was waiting in the bushes when they would start eating those mangoes. Jadu Thakur offered those mangoes in mine, offered Krishna his mind, and then his wife, she offered the mango to Jadu Thakur. He licked the mangoes, the seed was remaining and the skin was there. Then the wife of Jadu Thakur, she ate those mangoes and then she wrapped up all of those remnants into the banana leaves and then she threw in the bushes where all the remnants were to be thrown. Kalidas just leaped from the bush and just caught hold of those skins and those seeds and started feasting on it. This was his faith in the remnants of the devotees. And when he went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would enter the Simhadwar gate, the northern side, where there would be 22 steps leading to the Jagannath temple. And before entering the Jagannath temple, he would wash his feet into a ditch of water. And he had ordered Govinda not to allow anyone to take the water which has washed his feet. And this way, in fact, even with Jadu Thakur, Kalidas, in fact, when Jadu Thakur left and came to leave him till the end, his footprints were visibly there in the sand. In fact, he took the dust also and then he took Bhukta Avashesh, right? And then here, he is so enthusiastic, Kalidas comes, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is washing his feet and he just comes below and he takes one gulp of water which has washed the feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, takes the second and he's about to take the third and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that's enough for you. It's enough. You have already taken once, twice. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not refuse Kalidas. Why? Because he knew that this was the faith of Kalidas in these three wonderful things. Then again, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have his noontime lunch of Jagannath Mahaprasadam, Kalidas would wait at the exit of Gambira and would be waiting that when he would get remnants of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would see Kalidas at a distance and would order Govinda and indicate to Govinda, feed him my remnants. This was the mercy that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed Kalidas, because this was the attitude of Kalidas, that he was completely convinced that his identity was only as being the servant of the servant of the servant. Similarly, we find that whenever there are so many positions that we receive in Krishna consciousness for the sake of service and we are empowered for that cause, one should be very careful in dealing with various situations, handling these positions, these designations. Therefore, the first practical thing could be to have a decreased thirst for opulences. Less opulences means simple living and high thinking. And that's what Kola Vichas Sridhar was happy with his little thatched roof and did not want anything. He didn't want to say, oh, I just want a nice bhajan kutir, so at least thatch my roof properly so that I can do my service nicely. Similarly, we find that when Vasudev the leper was embraced by the Lord and all of his leprosy just went off, vanished in a moment and he became very beautiful, he became fearful instead of becoming ecstatic and happy that I have received the favor of the Lord. All of my leprosy is gone. So Vasudeva the leper was morose when he was shown this mercy by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he begged the Lord, since my Lord you have embraced me, everyone will come to know that I have been favored by you personally. And I am so beautiful, people will ask me, what happened? And by describing every time about the mercy that I have received from you, I will become proud in my heart. So please, this is going to be my problem. Had not you been favored me this way, would I have been better? What should I do to counteract this feeling of pride in my heart? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told, do not become worrisome. Just do these two things. Chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Incessantly, and always preach this message of Krishna consciousness and spread the holy name to others. In this way you will be free from pride and you will maintain a humble state of consciousness. Similarly, we have found that Lord, we can always watch our attitude. Are we becoming proud of any opulences, any position, any designation, any empowerment? And always remember that our fortune is only because of the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And we are always incapable of conducting anything, as Brahmaji was completely helpless, feeling helpless before creation. And he begged the Lord that he may not become proud after having been empowered. And he prayed that he may not be deviated from the Vedic injunctions. And thus, giving credit where it is due is what keeps a heart free from all pride. In this way, we have seen Srila Prabhupada showing us by this example, by his own example. Once he was meeting a group of a lot of GBCs and temple presidents at Jew, and they were discussing on a very crucial matter. And at that time, a lady sweeper had come, and it was her time to clean the room. And she was waiting for the meeting, and she was just peeping through the door. Srila Prabhupada just saw and said that it is the time for her to clean the room. Therefore, we will now all stop, we'll vacate, and we will have her clean first. This was the mood of Srila Prabhupada, though he was the founder Acharya of ISKCON, having such a crucial thing. This was a very crucial meeting, but he respected even the lady sweeper. That was his humility. And he always gave credit to his American disciples and to his Guru Maharaj, and he never took credit for himself. And Prabhupada said, therefore, all of you, I have made such an humble beginning, and it has come to be such a wonderful society of Krishna consciousness, spreading so many ways to spread this Krishna consciousness. Do not spoil this. Always remember humble, always remain humble, be tolerant, and always chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Since I overshorted the time. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.